Welcome, everybody, to this episode of Bench Talk. I am so excited to have with me two badass women. Every episode, I have badass women. I'm so excited to introduce you to the owners, the face behind, in front of, the face of Posh Palma Styles. We have Jelly Guzman and Valerie Diaz. Say hello to everyone.
Ooh, hello, hello.
So Jelly and Valerie, I have to give the little story on how we met. And so for my listeners, a lot of you do not know this. And so I will, more than likely, this is the first time I am saying this and presenting this. So we met at a pop-up shop. And for those who don't know, Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting has an extension of her company, i.e. me, an extension of my company called Selfish Luxuries. And what that is a company that it's more on my life coaching side. But what we do offer for this branch of my business is bath and body products that are infused with premium CBD. Ooh. And helping us as women relax, have glowing skin, feel good about ourselves. And it's really about self-care from the inside out. And this is my way of helping with that. So with that being said, I did my first pop-up, and I think I met you guys maybe at the second one that I did, but I did a pop-up shop down in Miami. I don't remember the month. Don't remember what month that was, but we did a pop-up shop and, you know, I was all set up and these young ladies came with their clothes and they were set up and they had music going and I'm like, who the hell are they? But they brought such a vibe. They brought such a vibe and they were not too far from where I was. And so we ended up chatting it up. And as they're talking, I specifically met Jelly because Valerie was at the register, if you will, you know, ringing people up, doing her thing. But we were talking and as we're talking, I'm like, I need you guys on my podcast. I need to talk with you. I need to bring you in front of these women who are who have self-doubt, some women who are dealing with low confidence, but they're high achievers, but we still have that, you know, that little itch inside of us, that inner talk that says, oh, maybe you shouldn't, maybe you should, right? And where to go with that. But so as we were talking, I'm like, these women are amazing. They're doing their thing. They're lively. They're spirited. They're Latina. What more can I say because of that, right? So, and their company is Posh Palma Styles. But before we dive into the company side of things, I really want to dive in with you ladies and talk a little bit about your background, right? And leading up, so what your journey was to get to Posh Palma Styles. So Jelly, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. And it's funny because we've started to master what it is in terms of the synergy and the flow of our story, right? Because, right. You know, you guys are going to learn here, but we're also sister-in-laws. So before anything, we're family. I'm married to Valerie's older brother. So with that said, so I was born and raised in Providence, Rhode Island. So I am from the smallest little state in the United States,
in the US,
in the New England, a Yankee fan at heart though, not a Red Sox fan. I knew I was going to practice what I wanted to do and what was my passion, right? What was I destined to do in this life? And that happened to me when I visited a school here in Miami. So we're based out of Miami, but I visited the Art Institute here and I was walking down the halls of the college and I saw a visual display of a collection of clothing. And I saw it and I was like, wow, like, this is something that I can, that's when I started learning that fashion is something that I could actually make a career out of, because the love for fashion was born in me since I could walk, right? Like I was dressing myself. I used to accessorize myself with my mom and my godmother's things. Like I was walking in heels in my house when I was four. I was trying to wear makeup when I was like six. Like I had it all in me, right? Like the I was there. But in all of my life, obviously, you know, growing up in, I grew up with my dad and my parents are Dominican. Most of what we hear is like, no, you need to go to school with something. You need to major in something that's secure, like, you know, that you'll have a secure salary, i.e. a lawyer, a doctor, an accountant. Like, what are you going to do with your life? And my dad is actually an accountant. Crazy. When I started looking at fashion and I was like, there's no way, like, can I make money? Like, you know, that's really like people go to school for this. So when I was at the Art Institute, I saw that and I started asking questions. So I started the program there in 2004, 2005. And at that point, I did a year in that school. And that's when I reevaluated where how hard I wanted to go with this. So at that point, I started looking at schools in New York and in California. And I went to New York and I always say I fell in love with fashion in New York City at the corner of 27th and 7th Street where FIT is. And that is where I graduated from in 2010 with a fashion merchandising degree. It was
awesome.
Best experience of my life. Like if anyone in here wants to study anything to do with fashion, even advertising, now they have marketing. I mean, they have all sorts of creative careers, but FIT is in the epicenter of the world. I mean, you're in New York City. You have all of the major offices in the city. Like it was a dream, right? I was single. I was living my best life.
You felt so, like you were in your element.
I literally was like, you know, when you love something, when you do it and it's like, you lose sleep over it. You don't eat over it. You don't, you know what I mean? Like these are the things that happen and you're like, you don't care. You glow because you know, you know what you're doing. So in any case, I graduated in 2010. I'm going to just tell you quickly from 2010 to 2020, I worked in corporate America for 10 years in two different companies. One of them was called Ideally, which was targeted for e-commerce platforms and the era where like e-commerce was truly like starting. And I was pretty much in like the merchandising. I worked in their photo studio. And then I ended up really getting the most of my experience in buying. So I would go out to market, research new brands and new designers and pick the assortments that matched our client persona and buy it. And then we would everything behind the scenes until it went live on the website. So at that point, the world and the universe, you know, came around and was like, this is what's going to happen. So an opportunity came for my husband in Tampa. It was in Miami, but I was like, let's get our foot in the door to Florida. Let's do this. So we came to Tampa. When I came to Tampa, I was like, what am I going to do with fashion in Tampa? Like there's nothing. Right. Like I think Ashley Furniture store is in Tampa. I was like, their corporate office. And like, that's it. I was like, I am not working in furniture. Like, what am I going to do with my life? So I started researching. And at that point, the Home Shopping Network was based out of St. Pete, which was like a 15-minute drive from Tampa. So, and there they had all the departments, including fashion. So that's what I did. I got my foot in the door and I worked there for 5 years and I worked in buying with jewelry and in clothing. And at this point was when I truly started thinking about where I was going to go with my life. I said, I now have 10 years under my belt. I said, I have an entrepreneurial spirit within me because I grew up with my dad. My family are pretty much on my dad's side are all entrepreneurs. So I was like, when is the right time? Right. And I know that we're going to go in depth later on to talk about confidence, your self-worth, your inner talk, like all of those things, which we all go through every day of our lives. But at this point I was like, there is no right time. Like, no, like I had everything talking to me inside. Right. And me and Valerie, I met Valerie because I've been with my husband for 12 years. I met Valerie when she was like 11 or 12. And ever since we met, we have fostered an awesome relationship, right? Outside of everything. But I knew how big and passionate and amazing she was with digital marketing and what she was building, you know, in her life. So I called her one day And obviously there was like a trip to I was styling here, and there was a trip to a store with a client of mine who sparked for me to question certain things and question where I was in my life and question why I wasn't making the moves that I needed to make in my life. So after I came home from this shop with her, I called Valerie and I was like, dude, I've always wanted to open a store. I was like, how can we make this possible? I was like, I want to do this with you. I feel like without you, like, we needed the both of us to make this happen the way that it needed to happen. Right. So I called her up and I told her about it. And she was like, let's do this. Like, you don't need to ask me, like, I'm on board, whether you want to include me in it or not, I'm going to support you. So at that point we were like, all right, let's do it. So that was week one of February of 2020. And then pandemic hits in March. Right.
So yeah.
I'm gonna pass it on to Valerie. And then we're going to talk to you about the birth of Push Palma Styles.
For me, it was primarily about like getting my education. So I went to St. Petersburg College and I got my associates. During that time, I was working in a financial aid office, and I started in remedial courses, which is, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 type of math. And for me, it was a slap on the face, because that meant that sometimes you think you're ready for certain things, but God has other plans for you. Mm-hmm. And I needed to sit back and understand that it wasn't my time. I needed to go through my remedial classes to be able to sit in an honors classroom. So it's like, you got to start from the bottom and bring yourself up. So I was like, I'm going to study a career that fulfills me today, not necessarily something that I'm going to get a job with. I don't care about that. That's going to come and it would flow. I just cannot allow to myself to be miserable today. So I studied political science, international relations, and I did a minor in marketing, because I feel like I was also creative, right? I had a t-shirt business in school. So I was selling t-shirts and like donating the money, and I would design them. Like, it was, that's where I started like getting more creative, and I started doing like the social media thing and like posting and like learning primarily about that, my influencer game, and all that good stuff. Senior year came around, all my friends were stressed about what to do next. And I don't know why, but I had this sense of peace that I was going to do something good. Like, my boyfriend would come to me like, why are you not applying for jobs? And I'm like, I don't know, but I just feel that there's something good waiting for me. And I remember one day I was at school and I saw a poster that said Fulbright. And I was like, Fulbright? What's Fulbright? I researched, I found out that it's a binational program where you can leave to another country to study and work and get your master's. Mm-hmm. I applied to Fulbright and I got Fulbright in Mexico. So after graduating, I moved to Mexico City. And it was really awesome. You know, being there, I was working with a company called Biwala. And they had an accelerator program. They would accelerate into like businesses. And then they had like another portion of it that it was focusing on investing in women-owned businesses through like that had a social impact and were women-owned. So I was building the marketing department of this new little baby company underneath the big company. So it was just me and the CEO, and we were building the marketing department, and she was focusing on getting businesses, right? So during that time, I was like, okay, I really like more of my marketing side. I do have a philanthropic like part of me.
Right.
And I was there my whole time. And then eventually COVID happened and I had to return to Miami. So my Fulbright experience got cut short. But that's why when Yeli approached me, I saw that this was, you know, something that it was fun, right? Like, she has a fashion background and I have the marketing background, and together we can create something that's digital but comes with weight.
So let's talk about how you guys came together, brought both of your experiences and saw a vision and made it happen. Like, what were some of, because we could talk about Happy Path all day long, but like, what were some of those hurdles that you had to get over internally, you know, and not knowing necessarily, we're in a pandemic, right? And not knowing what tomorrow may bring, or not knowing what this environment, how will I do? Obviously, you didn't let that stop you, right? Exactly. So let's start where how you guys came together and started building this company.
Yeah, so there I think is where our stories merge, right? So now we're hitting March. Valerie comes back from Mexico. We're here in Miami. My kids are home, sent home. The world is shut down,
right?
COVID is in its max potential right now.
Right.
And everything shut down for a month because this was something that was going to be go away and,
right.
and it was going right. to be fine, right?
We'll be back in April.
So the days start getting extended and extended, right? And as this is happening, you know, I like how you mentioned, we're all going through our inner struggles and we're all battling different things. And, you know, we were all in one home and there were many of us because we only had an apartment here in Miami, and it was Valerie, me, my husband, our sister Adriana, and my mother-in-law. Plus my two kids. So it was like a lot, right? And and however you try to put it, what the other person is going through some way or another influences you, right?
Absolutely.
So in all of this, you know, when we start talking about the store, at this point, the first thing that we did was we were like, let's just pause what's going to happen right now because we don't know. So then I start battling, for example, with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I start questioning and I start getting depressed. Like I had postpartum depression with both of my pregnancies. So a lot of things, like I start getting into dark places, right?
Yeah.
And I start questioning things and I start questioning my existence and I start questioning why I'm here and what am I going to do with my kids? And I question my role as a mother because I didn't have a good relationship with my mother. Like there are many things in my head going on. And in all of this, you know, we have each other and we're talking and one way or another, the concept of the store without it being solidified was such an escape to what was happening in the world.
Yeah. Like,
when we would talk about feeling confident in your body, when we would talk about clothing, when we would talk about that, Valerie, we were talking about like, how are we going to show it to the world? Like, how are we going to be different? Because there's so many clothing stores out there, right?
Right. It's not,
we're pioneering into some, we're some pioneers in something where we're the first to do it. So, you know, we're very passionate about our culture, about music, about food, about family. Like family mm-hmm. is so important to us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we would have sessions where we would sit down and brainstorm, and in this point, we were part of a few communities here in Miami, which then turned digital during this time. And we would look for support, right? Moral support, emotional support. Yeah. And we would question in the same community. And I remember we had a conversation with one specific person and she was like, why don't you guys just launch social? Why don't you launch? Like, what are you thinking about? Like create your social and make a mood board out of it. Create and design what you want Posh Palma Styles to be. And at that point, decide when you're going to launch it, but just start because what do you guys have to lose? Right. We're sitting at home with much time in our hands. And for you guys, this is like a passion project and your heart is invested in it, which is even more important and more crucial when you're working on launching an idea or a project or a business. For you to understand that this is a labor of love. Like we always say that, like what we do is a reflection of who we are. And that is what makes us different from any other store out there. Like your experience with Posh Palma Styles, from the moment you order, from the moment you receive your order and our hang tags gives you affirmations, like tells you that when you put on this piece, you should feel a certain way. You should act a certain way. Like, for you to have a sense of belonging, of relatability with people, like this was all things that were going through our head, but we were like, we need to just do this, right? So we came together with obviously my expertise of fashion, as we already discussed. I had a lot of, at this point, we weren't thinking, you know, now fast forward, now we have our own private label, right? But at this point, we were going to be purchasing other designers and supporting other designers, women designers and artisans and brands. And we would use our platform as a marketplace type where we would highlight you as the person behind it and create a platform where your voice and your mission could be amplified, right? So we had my background where I knew of manufacturers. I kind of knew the buying process, negotiation, pricing, cost, like all of those things. And then we had Valerie, who had her digital marketing, and she'll talk about the community component of the store and how that is also a component that has made Posh Parma Styles much more different and a project that's going to be much bigger as we roll out in phases, right? Because we're growing. We're technically 2 years in. But there are many, many dreams and goals that we have, which we'll tackle, you know, one by one.
I want to pause there because what you said is really interesting. There's a gap though. I want to dive a little deep into that gap. You guys came together. You had an idea. What were the people around you outside of the business world that you knew, the people around you, your core, what was their take on it? You know, hubby, I have this idea. I want to do this with your sister. Like, what was that conversation, if you don't mind me asking?
No, no, totally. So my husband is a very supportive soul. Him and my dad are people who I come to. And obviously my husband is also a very black and white person. He is not your person where he's in the gray area and he's very supportive of creative careers, which we don't know when they're going to make money. Like, he's like, you guys have all these amazing ideas, but like, what does that monetize into? Right. So, for my husband, it was much more, and obviously we have a household, like we have a family that we need to financially like support and need. Exactly. So at this point it was like, we can do this, but you're going to have to understand that there's are things that are going to have to be cut down. Right. So to just give you an example, let's say we would eat out every weekend. You know, maybe it means that you're not going to eat out every weekend because you want to follow your passion. And by you following your passion, the income is not there. And then let's establish a time where you guys are going to try this project and see where it's going to go. You know what I mean? Like he put certain requirements in place for us, to better understand and be like, okay, let's navigate this together. But in terms of moral support, I've always had that from him.
Awesome.
Well, and vice versa. Like my husband's a financial advisor and he kind of has his own business. He's his own business entity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're very supportive of one another, but it is not easy. Like, I like how here we're going to have conversations about the fact that this is not a pretty journey, like many times.
and that's the thing, because what I see with women and some of my clients who are not on the entrepreneurial side, but even if it's a 9-to-5, but they want to do something different. They want to reinvent themselves. They want to try something different. There's that cowering down and looking at, I want to do this, but I don't want my life to change. Yeah, I want to do, you know what I mean? I want to do this thing, but I'm afraid a little bit of what other people in my family may think, or I'm so comfortable here, but I want to do that thing. And I challenge them. I'm like, are you really comfortable where you are? No, because you're looking and you have this desire for something else. What's uncomfortable for you is taking that, just that first step.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just, and going through, and it's not being fearless, because you could be fearful and still move forward. You know what I mean? And not stay in a corner and just watch life happen to you and things go by because you're, you know, terrified of opportunity, you know? And I think you guys saw an opportunity, made an opportunity, honestly. You made an opportunity for yourselves, right? And through everything that was happening with COVID, which it's still, but everything during those early stages, to create what you've created, you know, and keep going. Did you have points where it was like you looked at each other like, I can't do anymore? Did you have any moments like that?
We have those points every day. I think that, like, that's the thing, that entrepreneurship is highly romanticized. And I constantly think that the hustle is romanticized because you have flexibility in things. But I feel like there's more times where you want to give up than times that you want to keep going. It's just that the times that you want to keep going are stronger and hold more weight on you. Mm. Right? Like, and I think that for us, it was more about like shifting our mindset and understanding that we owe this, not to ourselves, because this is not even about us, but we owe this for more women that look like us. And I think when you think about it that way, and then we also owe it to the creator that gifted us this gift. And then if you don't go and chase that, you're just doing a disservice to your existence. And I feel like we see that not as something that's weighing us down, but as something that's motivating us, because every single day is hard. Every single day is difficult. Every single day you're thinking. You don't, like, when you become an entrepreneur, like, I was washing my hair outside and I was thinking about the business. But it's like, nah, bro, you're washing your hair, like, take a step back and relax. But it's like, it's tough, right? Because your life changes and you carry that with you very close to your heart. So I'll say that as fear is your biggest enemy, but you can either use it to push you or use it to stop you. And life is going to go by regardless. Time is not going to stop for you. And that's kind of like, we wake up every day and we choose to do this, what we do, like, because we like it, but not every day it's easy. Right. Not every day it's pretty, right? Like, there's days where there's had been times that we go to pop-ups and we don't make one sale. You know how that feels after 9 hours standing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That your every single bone hurts and you were smiling the whole time. That shit is tiring.
Yeah.
But you got to come home and you got to think about, why am I doing this? And make and keep yourself like reminded of that, like, constantly.
Yeah.
Because this is tough, you know? And that's why this is not for everyone.
It is not for everyone. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone. And even on a broader scale, when you have a gift and, you know, I heard someone talk about gift versus passion, but when you have a gift that is truly in you and you want to do it, you will do whatever it takes to bring that gift to the surface, to thrive in that gift, to make it, to build it, to breathe it, to, you know, it's just, it's a part of you. And what's so disheartening sometimes is to see women not express that, not live in it, you know, and we're not here saying that it's easy. By no means.
No.
By no means is it easy. And so if you have a career, and if you talk about, because a lot of my listeners are career women as well, if you have a career and you want to get to a certain point in your career, you know what it feels like when you're like Jelly, like, you can attest to this, right? In 10 years under your belt, how it felt when you want to get to this next level, when you want to do that next thing, you know, and maybe some things were holding you back, or maybe not for you, but for other women, things that they have this talk in their mind that, who am I to want that next thing? Who am I to do this, you know, to want to ascend to another level, or to be at, you know, a director level or VP, or have be a head of a department, or be in a leadership position? Who am I to do that? It's, you are who you are. And if you have the feeling to do that, then you very well can do it, really and truly, outside of all of a lot of obstacles that are in our way inherently as women. We own a lot of that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's really important, like when Valerie was speaking about fear and the fact that having 10 years under my belt, like, you understand. And I think we spoke about this before we hopped onto this conversation, to this podcast interview today. And I was like, when we chose entrepreneurship, we chose it because we wanted to lead and design our life the way that we wanted to design it, right? And understanding that your why is one part of it, right?
Yep.
But then understanding that you're willing to sacrifice what you need to sacrifice so that you can make that happen. Like, I've had very uncomfortable conversations with my husband because of either pay or how much you guys are making. Like, when is this thing going to happen? Like, when are you going to all of these things that come between a marriage. Yeah. And I'm always the one to always, I believe in a way that I'm like, if I have to just be able to provide food and shelter for my kids and water, which is what we need to live. Obviously not to a point where like 10 years down the road, we're still like dying. And like, I'm right. still here, like,
right.
but we are seeing growth. Like if the reason why I feel like this is because we're seeing the light, right?
Right.
So like, if you're in your way, on your way, and you're seeing the light, you can't let nothing that does not, things that don't align with you, people that do not align with you, because people can also have a very high influence as to where you go, what you question every single day of your life. Like,
yeah.
That's why when you do what you do as entrepreneurs, you need to surround yourself around crazy ass people, because we are crazy ass people.
Yes.
This is not,
yes.
this is not a duty. This is not a calling for people who are normal, right? People
right.
who are normal are okay with being comfortable in their box. And there's
right.
nothing wrong with being comfortable in your box. That's why we're saying that this is not for everyone.
Yeah.
But I do think that your why is one component, but you have to understand that you're willing to get really uncomfortable. You're willing to give up and sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed for those dreams and those goals to be achieved.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It is, you can't have it both. I cannot keep my lifestyle the way I have it and try to build our companies. And we co-run two businesses, but try to build our companies and try to meet, like go out to eat, travel, like shop,
yeah.
like no. Like,
you know what? I want to say something about that, because I want to talk to the entrepreneurs here. Social media will have you believing that you are doing something wrong, because you'll see certain people traveling and doing these things. Oh, and I started another business while I'm sitting on the beach in such and such. Or one thing I have to say, you don't know how they got to where they are and what it took for them to get to where they are or where they are in their journey. So the comparisons have to stop. I think we do that so much, and we're inundated with that so much, because I think a lot of us follow the happy path. We follow what's pretty. We follow what looks good. We follow, and I think it's just by nature, we follow where we want to be. So we see the end game. Let me follow that and see that. But then sometimes we take that, and I'm saying this about me sometimes. I do that sometimes for myself. I take that and I internalize it, and I'm like, but I'm not there. You know what I mean? I'm not there. But it's like, Jackie, you are on your way to where you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
You may need to put the blinders on, put the blinders back on. You took them off for a minute, put the blinders right back on and focus. You know, and know maybe certain things you have to sit out of this, you have to sit out of that, and know you can't go to Jamaica, and know you can't go here, and know for right now, you know, here are my sacrifices right now. I'm going to put my blinders on. I'm going to get focused. I'm going to do the things, one, that brings me joy. You know what I mean? Because you can go off and do all of these other things, and then you're going to come back, and it's like, damn, I really should have been here doing this thing, you know? So then the regret sits in.
I wanted to add like a few things based on what Jelly was mentioning and what you're mentioning, because we have learned that entrepreneurship is so much internal and inner work, and like truly working in the inside. So yes, something yes. really cool that we were able to do that, I think we have to revisit by now, is that you have to create the position of your dreams and think of your company as if you are already there.
Absolutely.
When it comes to your mindset, because the thing is that because it's such a, it's the journey gets tough, right? Mm-hmm. And the journey is hard. So if every day you're hustling, it's like you can allow yourself to daydream, right? But at the same time, you got to have a plan in place. So we sat down and we thought about our dream job titles. And they're like random ass, like job titles. But I think it's really important for you to be able to always remind yourself and see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then not attach. But at the same time, it's like you cannot live your life always attached to the outcome and the results.
Right.
Because
right.
yes, the results matter, but the journey is far more important.
Absolutely.
What you do every day to achieve those results.
Absolutely.
You know? So So I know sometimes it's like, you can allow yourself to daydream, like take, you know, sit down. And like, I think one day we went out to eat and all we did was talk about how great our lives are going to be, you know? Yeah. And then we go back to eating, you know, whatever you got to do, you go back to it. But it's like being grounded.
Absolutely.
And being self-aware. And if you're not ready to be grounded and be mm-hmm. self-aware, you're not going to do it, because a lot of this is inner work. Your soul got to be good. You got to feel good. And then you keep it going.
I want to dive in on that. Where do you pull your strength from?
Well, for me, I am a people person. I feed off of the people who are around me and the people, my very close people and the people I love. Mm-hmm. I think for first and foremost, my biggest inspirations are my two kids, to be mm-hmm. totally honest, Jackie. Like, I think for my son, and it's different. I have a girl and a boy, right? But for my son, it's maybe how you treat women, how you see women, how you should talk to women.
Yeah.
You know, that aspect. And then for my daughter, it's more like, how are we building an empire and a legacy that in a world where this was way back when it was like men who were the leaders, men were the head of households, men,
right.
It was all men, right? And women were like the shadow or like, you know, of the men. So for my daughter, it's more like, what am I building to leave for her? And if this is not something she wants to do, then at least she knows that we created something, you know what I mean? Like me and her aunt, like we created something together. Like it's possible for you to have dreams and for you to achieve those dreams.
Right.
So I think when I wake up and I wake up on a day where I'm low and I'm not feeling it. And it's not one of those not so pretty days. Right. Luckily we have each other, which also helps the entrepreneurship journey, because there's people that are doing this alone, which is very hard.
We need to form a group of entrepreneurs, that literally a support group. And I'm so serious, because it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. And we've learned, like me and Valerie, we do morning check-ins with each other, right?
Yeah.
And what does that mean, right? It's not like, hey, what are you doing today? What's your to-do? No. It's like, hi, like, you know, we call each other a certain name. We send our heart emojis. How are you feeling? Did you sleep?
Yeah.
Did you have to rest? How's your soul? Like, are you good? And once we connect on that level and we reflect, then we go into, if we need to talk about business, then we talk about what's happening, right? Or what's going on that day. But I think it's important for you to have that tribe of women. Like, it's not easy.
Absolutely. It isn't easy.
It's and then find those key motivating factors that drive you. Like for the store, it's, you know, there's days where we don't feel motivated, but things happen where, let's say that pop-up that we went to, that one that we met you precisely, mm-hmm. I remember it was very cold that day.
Yes.
I remember, I think
it was in January.
It was freezing.
We got like pneumonia.
We got like sick after it.
Oh no.
It wasn't like as successful as, you know, nor other pop-ups that we've had. But what happened that day? We met you. Yeah. We connected with other women. We met your daughter. I mean, it was the things that happen and the beautiful women that we meet, and being able to share our story in spaces like this one is, and then getting the feedback from people and the acknowledgement, it's like, damn, you got to keep going, because you owe it to the community. Like Valerie said, this is not even about us anymore. This is
it's much bigger.
Now say for me, I gather my, like whenever I'm feeling low, it's like I have made it a point that my existence is not just to exist. So I truly feel that I have a very clear purpose, and that like I gotta do my thing, because this is just not about me. So I remember like my junior year of college, I got to Clark University, and that's the first time I met a lot of, like, one of my best friends, Chris Belli. I met a lot of different women that truly looked like me, but not just like physically, but more like experience wise.
Right.
And I was like, what? Like, I'm an Afro-Latina. Like, I'm like, like, I started associating myself with all these titles that comes with way of my history and where I come from and what I got to do for my people.
Right.
So I'm in a point of my life where, like, when, like, I think about that, right? Like, I want my future kids. I want Gabriela and like my other nieces to feel that if they're empowered. And I'll say also like family, like I'm a Cancer. So like a family, like my zodiac sign is Cancer. And like, I'm a very emotional being, and entrepreneurship makes your heart a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. And for me, that has been like, whoa, why is my heart more tough now? Like, I don't want my heart to be tough, right? And that's something that I've been battling for the majority part of this year, right? That I'm getting tougher when it comes as a human being, colder mm-hmm. as a human being. And it's like, that comes from the low times, but it's like, you got to have people around you that remind you of your inner child and remind you, like, I know, like sometimes when I'm with Adriana, right? Adriana is like our sister. Me and her laugh at things that are extremely dumb because sometimes I'm with Adriana and Adriana and I talk about dumb stuff, like really dumb stuff, but like we laugh. And it's like, that reminds me at the end of the day that I'm a human being, not a human doer, and that I'm, there's still like that little girl in me. So honestly, I think about that girl and she inspires me because I think she's pretty dope and she's me.
Let's dive into Posh Palma Styles. Let's talk about the company. Let's talk about the styles. Let's talk about what you're doing, where you're going, where do you see this? So let's dive into Posh Palma. First, where did the name come from?
We get this question a lot too. So Palma is the palm tree, right? It is one of our, like, it's our favorite, let's say, tree, right? Like it reminds us of the Caribbean. It reminds us of the beach.
Right.
It brings that Caribbean flair to who we are, right? Because we're from the Dominican Republic. So that's Palma. Posh is like your chic Palma, right? So if you envision Posh Palma Styles, you envision a free-spirited soul, like walking in the beach. It's her happy place, right? Walking in the sand, feeling the air, like all that type of stuff. And then Styles was, instead of putting like boutique or shop, or like, you know, things that already exist, we were like, we're going to bring styles. Like we're bringing like swag. It mm-hmm. was kind of like, how do you bring your swag to the table? Right. Like I said, like we mentioned earlier, when we started, this was more of a marketplace. So we would, and we still currently have some products that is designed and curated by other Latin. Most of our designers are also Latina. So we have women from Venezuela, women from Colombia and other countries, Dominican Republic and other countries. So a year in almost after the collection, this came about where the idea came about because we were struggling with finding, because of COVID, right? Because of issues with delivering product and having delays and everything else. And obviously as the visionary woman that we are, for us, fashion is like, it's a creative outlet, right? Like we are very expressive souls in our different ways, right? Like we always talk about it. Like I have this shirt on and I'm going to wear it one way and Valerie wears it another way and Jackie wears it another way, right? That is the beauty of clothing. I think more importantly, it's the inner work. It's building confidence. It's learning that you love yourself for who you are. And then it's putting on those clothes and feeling empowered in whatever you're wearing, right? I think that's truly important when it comes to the brand to express it to everyone who's listening. And then secondly, it's how are you like kind of feeling empowered and then actually acting on that too, right? Because for you to feel empowered and be uplifted and then take action on it, it's like kind of like how you equip a woman, right? When you get your hair done, you got your makeup done, you got that red lipstick, your makeup is flawless and you feel flawless and you feel confident. It's like you're ready to take on the world. You're closing that negotiation. Like you're closing that deal, that client is coming in. Like you are at your highest point, right?
Yeah.
So when we were talking about all that, we were like, man, but why don't we just create our own label? Like, because we were looking at different styles and, you know, we love clothing. Like we shop and support other brands and other designers. Like that is going to be forever. But why don't we capture our essence and be able to offer that to our community as well? Right. Like, why don't we look at that as an option? And obviously this is something where it's not an easy process for you to create your own private label. Like, it takes time.
The time.
It takes a lot of work, investment of many kinds. So at mm-hmm. this point, we kind of started putting it out to the universe, and we spoke. We spoke about it, and we were like, if we're going to create anything, we want to create it back in our homeland. Like, if we're going to support anywhere, it's going to support, at least start supporting our country. And then from there, we can support other countries, right? Like, how are we giving back to women in our country? So we spoke to a cousin of mine who is kind of our representative for the brand in the Dominican Republic. And we started with, we're also very big on like energy and like manifestations and putting things out into the universe. So we had a very like introductory call with her. And we were like, look, this is the ideas we have. This is what we're thinking. Let's put it out there. You're over there. So if you can possibly spread the message, talk to certain key people, influential people, how can we, but then we don't want to partner with like something that's already established. We want to create something from the roots up with someone from over there. We want it to be a woman. Like, we kind of told her everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So little by little, literally the stars aligned and the universe aligned, right? And opened the opportunity and the possibilities for us. And we've partnered with Diana. Diana is our head designer. She is located in Moca in Dominican Republic. And we created with her and our vision and everything, our first collection. It's called Sé Libre Mariposa. So it's called like Free Butterfly, in other words. You know, the butterfly signifies a lot of variations of reincarnation, rebirth, right. Freedom, independency for like the woman. But now we have that collection up. We pretty much offer clothing and accessories, but we focus highly on clothing. We are working right now behind the scenes on something really big, and it's going to be going forward. We're going to be doing capsules as we continue to test. And the next one is a mommy and me one. So that one is going to be mommy and me tailored to boys and girls, because there's some of us that are not mom of girls. Right. So we'll have options, but in there we have, you know, whether we want to work on a swimwear capsule, mm-hmm. we want to test out men, see what we can do, because we have a lot of men who are always like digging our prints and digging like all the styles that mm-hmm. we have. And they're like, where are the clothes for guys? We want to empower you guys too. And you know, all that good stuff. So that's where we are now, but we're very proud of what we've accomplished till today. We're proud at the fact that we're giving back to a woman-led business in Dominican Republic. And we're part of, that is just the beginning of various community projects that we want to do in the Dominican Republic as well.
Valerie, talk about the community aspect.
Yeah, I was going to say that since the moment that like we were putting together the store right during the pandemic, and we basically did reverse engineering to come down to how we were going to get it accomplished, right? So it's mm-hmm. like, okay, this is a launch day. How are we going to get that? We thought backwards, and we did it. And we felt that it was not just your typical store, right? Like, we were so much more than that, and we're leading with intention. So we have created a space. We started with creating a space in our website called Spoken Jefas, where we highlight different blogs and we interview different jefas in their community. That's what we call our audience jefa, because if you think about it, for a lot of times, especially in Dominican Republic, a jefa, it sounds mandona, like somebody that's like, she thinks she's a jefa, but like she's not a jefa. And for men, it's like a jefe, it's like respected. So we're trying to change the narrative. So we started doing spoken jefas. So we have our jefas that we highlight in the blog. But then we also start
really quickly, for those who don't know, explain what a jefa, what that is, what that means, how translate that.
So it's a dope woman that's doing dope things in the community. A jefa is the boss. She's the boss. She's the leader, you know, and she's an alpha, but then she also makes room for other alphas. And I think that's what differentiates a jefa that's here to walk the walk.
So I wanted to know, our listeners want to know, how can we find you?
So on Instagram is Posh Palma Styles, and our website is poshpalmastyles.com. And our email, in case you want to email any questions or reach out, it's listchat@poshpalmastyles.com.
Awesome. So I will definitely put all of that information in the show notes. I have to attest that your clothes are amazing.
Thank you.
I love what you guys are doing. I love your energy. I love your youthfulness in, you know, bringing this, these fresh ideas and knowing that it's not just about you. That's the key thing, you know, it's a bigger picture. It's not, I'm pushing clothes. You know what I mean? It's not even about the clothes at this point, right? It's what does it do for you? Right? What does it do for other women? How do we help women? And I think that's where the synergies are with us. How do we help women feel their best and live their best? It's from the inside out. Yes, we can put things on our bodies, but it really is bringing what's inside and displaying it externally.
Exactly. I love that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And those are things that show, like they show on their own. Like when you're happy, you glow. Like you could be wearing a dress from the Salvation Army. Trust me that when you are glowing, people are going to stop you and tell you that you look beautiful.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what you're wearing. So
absolutely.
I think it's really important also for people to understand that with the store and even with your life projects for these women that are listening that are in corporate America, and have that side hustle or have that side dream or side passion that they want to go after, like understanding that you have to really want it, right? And you have to believe in it, because for you to be able to achieve it, that is like, that is not your number one key, is finding and then understanding that the financial fear, which I feel like is probably one of the biggest fears, you know, not to say the biggest fear for some people, but when you do something with passion and with heart and with intention, the money follows. Like when we started Posh Palma Styles, we didn't think about the clothes. Yes, we love clothes. Yes, I love to put things together. Yes, I'm very passionate about that. But what did we think about first? We thought about how are we serving the community? How are we showing that there are other Latinas, other women of color doing dope things in the community? And then obviously people will stop us and be like, what are you wearing? Oh, that's Posh Palma. Oh, you guys sell clothes? Oh yeah, we sell clothes. If you want to buy the clothes, you could buy them here. Like, it was, like that's how it naturally happens. Like when you first go out to people and try to throw in their face what you're trying to sell, whether you have a product or a service, like you come out as a transactional being, like as someone who like, that's all you care about. Like you have to understand that when you put your heart and intention behind it, trust me, that if it is the right thing for you, and that's what God wants for you, right? Because we can't go against God and what the universe has in place for us. The money and the success will follow. Like it will
follow. Yeah. Exactly. Now, I was going to say, just like for any entrepreneurs out there, like treat yourself with grace and empathy, because like it's going to be difficult, right? But because you love it so much, I feel like sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and we beat ourselves up. Like I'm constantly questioning, right? Like, oh, like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing and all of that good stuff? But you got to treat yourself with grace because you deserve it and you have earned it. It's like rest while you can, because you have earned the rest, and truly embrace your wholeness, because it's like one of our clients said, like, you got to bring your whole self to work. And if your whole self is not okay, then you're not going to be able to show up to work. So being in tune, being in tune with your wholeness, it's very important. And also not knowing all the like answers, because a lot of times you don't know the answers. And sitting on that, it's perfectly okay. Like we have learned to just sit without answers and just ride the wave, right? And sometimes you have to do that. And pay attention to the signs, because if, again, like Yeli mentioned, if this is what's meant for you, the signs are just going to start popping up and you you got to pay attention.
You have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. I think we don't do that enough because there's so much clutter.
There's noise, you know,
so much noise and background noise. And it's like, stop, breathe, be still. And I say this in my practice all the time. Action does not always mean progress.
No.
Ladies, this was amazing. I love talking with you, and I would love to have you back. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have you on, Jelly and Valerie. This was amazing. Posh Palma Styles. I will have the links to your store, all of your social, everything on the show notes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for today, and thank you for gifting us your time.
Absolutely.